Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, today in the Middle East, just days before the official recognition of Israel's 70th anniversary as a regathered nation, and also coinciding with the move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, Iran, if you've been watching the news in the last couple of days, is continuing to mobilize itself and now it appears its proxies into further position for a more broad-based assault against Israel. And I'm going to read to you in just a moment what one rabbi from Israel is saying about what he thinks is about to happen. I'm going to share with you some of his comments in just a moment, and I want to talk to Gary and get some input from him. But from the balance of the program today on this Friday program, we're going to move, as we generally do, to the issue of money and economics and biblically responsible investing. And we're going to look at the concept of confidence as it relates to the value of money. We're going to look at why the European Union member states right now are so bitter at the influence of the U.S. economy, and particularly in response to what the president has done with the backing out of that Iran deal. But we're going to look at the question as whether or not it's morally right for one nation, such as the United States, to exercise such significant world economic power. And we're going to talk about that from an economic perspective as well. And we're going to conclude the program today with a little bit more emphasis on biblically responsible investing. And we're going to do that with our special guest, William Parker, who is with us on this issue every Friday. And with that introduction, I welcome you to our Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer, joined today by Dr. Gary Dull. And again, our regular economic and investment guest, William Parker, who is the CEO of Grandview Asset Management. Well, man, there's a lot of places we could go here in this first segment where we try to, on this program, kind of give a highlight of some of the bigger things that are happening. And this unfolding scenario, though, in the Middle East clearly appears to be ramping up. I know we've talked about it a lot. It's kind of gone up. It's kind of gone back down. But now it appears that something more broad-based is underway. And there well could be a full-fledged breakout of war between Israel and Iran in days, and I'm not so sure from what I'm hearing and reading that it might just possibly coincide fully with Israel's 70th anniversary, which occurs on Monday, coming up here, Monday the 14th. But I ran across an article just this morning that a rabbi, Rabbi Pinchas Winston, and he's described as a end times theorist. He's written 50 books. He's now predicting a conflict on the brink, and he has alluded, he says, to a prophecy that comes from the scripture, but he's referring to something that some earlier rabbis had made back in the 13th century, where he said Iran would spark an apocalyptic war. And he's saying, quote, this is a biblically based prophetic crisis. He's saying, I thought some of these comments were interesting, which I'm going to read. He said, these things are about to get biblical, Rabbi Winston told Breaking Israel News. He said, some people thought the Bible was dead. They thought they could sit back and just relax. But that is clearly not the case in Syria. And soon, that's going to be clear to everyone. He goes on and says, this week, he's saying that Israel, because of the significance, also threatened to assassinate Assad in Syria if Iran doesn't back off and continues to use Syria as a base from which to attack Israel. He goes on to say that the conflict with Iran is not a normal political crisis such as the Cuban Missile Crisis or even the North Korean crisis. He said there in North Korea, Kim Jong-un was afraid, and in his political maneuvering, he was just looking for a good way to back down. But that's not the case with Iran. So, Gary, I just want to go to you. I mean, we covered a lot on the program yesterday with our two guests about the Middle East, so we don't need to go through all of those things, but I do want to get your comment on something here. Here it is, a rabbi is speaking out, and not just because a rabbi doesn't mean he's right, of course, But he is saying something, and he's citing a potential for a breakout of war. He's saying that it's significantly different there with Iran and Israel, and cites some biblical passage in the part of the article, as well as the statements that a Jewish scholar made many years ago. But I look at that, Gary, and then I also look what's happening on the island of Hawaii, where that volcano is continuing to grow. Fissures are continuing to expand. The governor now declares a state of emergency. And they're saying right now that if that lava goes down as it's doing right now and gets underneath the water table, that it's going to turn that water into steam and make a massive volcanic explosion, which will hurl, they're saying, boulders, 10-ton boulders, miles. Well, that's going to be a major explosion. So people are on the edge there in Hawaii, Gary. They're looking at it. People in the Middle East are as well. I just want to come back to you and say, from a biblical perspective, when we see these kinds of things happen, I mean, these are facts. We're not making them up. They are occurring. How should a person respond to these things? Just close their ears, walk away, and pretend they're not happening? Or should we learn something about these? And what should it cause us to do as a concerned person, a concerned Christian?
First of all, I think it's great that we see people recognizing that Scripture is coming into reality and coming into focus in some of their thinking, because many people are saying, you know, I read that in the Scriptures somewhere, and that's causing them to ask questions. And of course, I do believe, as we've talked about many times before, that these things are prophetic. God is working to get the attention of the people of the earth. And as we draw closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to see more of these things take place. And that's why, in answering your question, I want to turn to Romans chapter 13, where it simply says this, and now let the Scripture speak for itself, Sam, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh. And I think that that's a good challenge, particularly to Christians, as we see all these things taking place around us.
Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. And ladies and gentlemen, again, we mention these things because these are real live news events. A lot of the media just creates crises and creates events. The two I cited, we're not creating. We're acknowledging them, and we're saying we should know about them. But Gary read what we should do. We should think our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and those who even don't believe in the Bible should look, as the rabbi said, don't think that the Bible has gone away. It's really now perhaps just coming really, really alive. So with that being establishing our program today here, we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to go to the economic issues. We're going to go to the EU, European Union, and why they are bitter about U.S. economic strength. Are they justified? We'll talk about that when we come back. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap Today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, following the historic announcement by President Trump of pulling the U.S. out of the failed Iran nuclear deal, the president has indicated that there would be a 60 to 90 day time frame with certain requirements in that period of time placed on various sanctions against Iran. In other words, certain things would be implemented at certain points, and there would be actions taken against companies or nations who would continue to do business with Iran. But some nations, like the European Union members, have stated that they're tired of the U.S.'s long arm of economic control, and they are planning to oppose the president and his policy on Iran. So I want to go a direction here. Are they justified? Are these nations justified in saying that the U.S. is wrong to exercise such influence over other governments? And we're going to talk about that here right now in this segment with William Parker. He's the CEO of Grandview Asset Management. He's with us on this program every Friday as we talk about matters of investments and economics. William, welcome to the program today. Thanks for being with us again.
How are you, Sam?
I'm doing well, and we're glad to have you here. I know you are busy. You've just been on some other radio programs as well, and so I'm glad that you are part here again today. William, I want to go right here to this issue as we talk about different aspects of economics and investments and so forth on this program on Friday. From a global financial perspective, the U.S. dollar has dominated for a long time global economics due to, I think, in part, the size of the U.S. economy. And I'm also going to put in there, I think, in fact, because God has blessed the size of the U.S. economy, blessed the nation as a whole, and so we've become very influential. Yet the connection of the U.S. dollar has been linked to the price of oil. You've talked about it. I want to talk about it a little bit again here right now. I believe that that's probably strengthened, without doubt, the influence of the dollar and therefore the United States. But from a strictly economic perspective, do you think that it's good that the United States' economic influence is so significant globally? And do you believe that the globalist mentality of these EU countries saying that they think it is egregious, it jumps over the bounds of what is normal, and they think that they need to stop it? What do you think about any one country, in this case, particularly the United States, influencing the world economy so significantly? Good idea, bad idea?
Well, I think it's a bad idea for us to be in bed with these liberal-thinking prime ministers and presidents from Europe, because if you really look at what they've done to their own countries over the last 5 years, where they've opened their borders to illegal immigrants, including Muslims, there's a big, big pushback right now in Germany and Norway and Sweden, where they've opened the borders, and they can't afford to pay these people or put them on welfare, and the people in the country are very upset about the open borders they have over there. It's actually crushing their economy. It's hurting their one-payer healthcare system. And, you know, we are still the largest consumers in the world of products. So we're buying from other countries more than they are buying from us. And that's how the unfair trade balance took place. But I think we have a president that was willing to draw a line in the sand in Syria, draw a line in the sand in North Korea, and draw a line in the sand in Iran. And this is something that has been needed since the Reagan administration, peace through strength. Our economy can be somewhat impacted if, for example, Europe were to start putting tariffs on American products. I really don't think that's going to happen, because guess what? Everybody wants our products. Everybody wants our technology. Everybody wants the best jet fighter in the world, which is the F-35. Everybody wants the best helicopter in the world. So, you know, there may be a lot of sable rattling that goes on right now in Europe about our pulling out of the accord with Europe when it comes to pollution, for example, because China and India was exempt for the first 10 years. And I think it was right for the president to pull out of that. He had a lot of pushback, but it went away in a week. No one talked about it. Him pulling out of the Iranian deal was a good thing for the United States because it allowed them to develop the centrifuge while they were going on this 10-year mission of not allowing us into certain sites. And it wasn't a fair deal. We sent them billions of dollars, and it wasn't a fair deal for the United States. And it was right for the president to put pressure on them because as soon as he did, and he started putting some rules and regulations on people that were trading with Iran. Some of the stocks of these companies that were trading with Iran took a very big hit the very next day, or the very same day, actually. So the president's having more impact on the economic stage as opposed as the world economic stage having an impact on the United States, in my opinion.
All right. And you kind of answered the question. You did say that it could be problematic for any one country to have such significant influence as ours, but I'm going to put in there, you didn't say this, but I'm going to say it perhaps, that as long as we are taking the world in the right direction, there's one thing, but if we were to take the world in the wrong direction, such as what the Obama administration was doing, they were taking them, forcing countries to implement or put abortion into their constitutions, same-sex marriage into the constitutions, a completely different direction, that becomes problematic. Gary, let me come to you right now and ask you for a biblical perspective. As we look at how God works with nations, is it wrong, morally wrong, for the United States to have such influence over the world, geopolitics, a lot of things that are happening on the world? Obviously, clearly right now, we are in the driver's seat when it comes to what's taking place around the world. Is that wrong biblically to have that degree of influence? What do you say, and what's the scripture say about that?
This is an excellent discussion, Sam and William. First of all, you know, I appreciate what William said there about the idea of the fact that we should not be in bed with some of the EU leaders, simply because of the fact that their whole worldview is secular, and there is no biblical value there at all, no biblical worldview concept. And that, I think, Sam, is where we in the United States of America have both the privilege and the responsibility to make some type of a positive impact upon the nations of the world. We need to keep in mind that our Constitution and our values are still based upon biblical truth. There are many people who won't agree to that. There are many people who don't like that. But the fact of the matter is, our values, our whole system is based upon biblical truth. Now, it's our prayer that we maintain that. And we do have a great responsibility to portray, as it were, biblical truth in influencing other nations, because if we don't, then I believe that we are going to be held as a nation accountable before Almighty God. But Sam,
Let me ask you a question. I hate to break in, but what do you think of where we would be today if Hillary Clinton was voted as president when it comes to these agreements with the EU? How different do you think? I mean, this is all part of God's plan, Donald Trump being the president, in my opinion. How different would the world be today if we were taking this view from a liberal perspective?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it would be scary to even think about it. I think that if Hillary Clinton was in the White House today, obviously, we would not be dealing with this matter in North Korea as Donald Trump is doing. The Iranian deal would still be going on. We would be going faster down the path of secularism than we are spiritual truth. One of the things, William, that we've said over and over on this particular program is that we are amazed at how President Trump is able to come out with biblical principles in what he does, in the way that he governs. And I think, of course, that is because of the fact, number one, he's got spiritual advisors around him. But I also believe that God raised him up for such a time as this. But there's one other thing, William, that I want to bring into the conversation here as it relates to this discussion, this responsibility, and our influence upon the world. The United States of America, and I've said this before, and Sam's heard me say this, I believe that the United States of America has been brought into existence by God for two reasons. Number one, to proclaim the gospel worldwide, and number two, to stand for and support the nation of Israel. Donald Trump is leading that. We know that Barack Obama ruined that. Hillary Clinton would have continued to ruin that. But Donald Trump is leading our support to the nation of Israel. And I think because of that, God is blessing America, and God is going to even give us a greater influence on the nations of the world, mainly because of the way that we support and stand by and stand with Israel in what they're doing. You know, you can't take away Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 out of this conversation.
No, you can't, Gary. And William, that was a good question to ask, because I think it's right on mark. And Gary, you went to the direction of responsibility for those nations. And I just want to say, as I look at where we are and I look at God's promises to Israel, he said, look, I'm going to take you to a new land. And if you do what I tell you to do, in other words, you follow my commands and follow biblical principles and the way you set up your government, the way you run things, the way you enact justice, all of those things, then I will make you a blessing and I will make you the head and not the tail. But if you walk away from me, then you will become effectively, I'm going to disperse you as a people. And I think, Gary, you put your finger right on that. And I think as a nation, we have seen God bless us and make us a shining city on the hill, as Governor Bradford prayed way back in 1620 some there at the beginning of the Massachusetts colony. And God has done that, but with it is a responsibility. And the direction that we are headed at this moment, anyways, under this administration, is in the right direction for continued blessing. What was before, as you said, William, was the exact opposite direction. So that being said, when we come back here, ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, we're going to talk about the strengthening U.S. economy. Again, talk about the U.S. here. And the fact, have the markets gotten to the point where we are actually decoupling from the rest of the world strong enough to stand on our own? We'll talk about that in just a moment.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. And like I do at this point, I want to welcome everybody. If you've just currently joining us, or if you were with us from the beginning, a reminder that you always can go to our website at standinthegapradio.com, pick up archives to this program, as well as all of our programs, and on our free app, which you can get on your smartphone, free app, just by putting in the phrase Stand in the Gap, you can get either on our website or the podcast. You can go there and you can actually find podcasts and information separated by subject matter, so that you can take and you can examine the issue of Islam. You can examine the issue of smaller government, of life, of Christian persecution. Many, many, many categories. I want to just share this additional thing, which we sometimes don't do, but I wanted you to know about it, that there's also a YouTube channel where there are many things that we have on there. They could be interviews that I or one of our team have done on issues, small things, or other items that we'll have on our YouTube channel, which are two of them. Either look up and put in the phrase American Pastors Network or Stand in the Gap Radio, either one. And you will have a lot of different items there that you can watch via YouTube. Now, let's go back here into this matter of economics. I want to go back to the strengthening of the U.S. economy. We've talked about whether or not the United States should have such an influential role that it has. And fundamentally, we said, yes, it's fine that it has an influential role. Matter of fact, God blessed Israel of old when they did. But he said, better be careful how you use it. And that's really where we come down right now. But in the area of economics and investment, the world for many, many years now has been moving towards a unified world economic system. Now, we know ultimately in the end times, there will be a one world government and there will be a one world economy. So the globalists of the world have been after this for a long time. In the last administration, there were broad efforts to try and bring these things together by diminishing the role of the United States. For a moment, we have a little bit going the opposite direction, and I would say that's because of God's blessing. But for a long time, when you look at the stock market and how things have gone, when the Far East markets were up, the U.S. market was up. When the Far East markets were down, the U.S. market was down. But the last couple of days, something has shifted. And William Parker, who, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest for today's program, and he's also on with us all Friday as we talk about economics and investing. William, you and I were talking about it, and you mentioned the point that something had significantly changed, and that there may actually be maybe witnessing a decoupling, in my words, of the U.S. market, stock market, from the Far East. Something is happening there. Would you take and flesh that out for us a little bit? Because I thought it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, interesting enough, over the past this past week, usually when Europe, you know, their markets open and Asia markets open throughout the night and are working and people are trading while you're sleeping. And if Europe or Asia catches a cold, usually the Dow or the S&P catches a cold the next day and it goes down. But most recently, I've noticed a decoupling where Asia and Europe's down, and this past week the market has been up. The Dow's gone back to where it's all, you know, for the year, it's all-time high. And a lot of that's driven by technology. But the reality is that this is the first time where it seems that our market or investors are not paying attention to either the Europe or the Asian market when it comes to their investments. They're paying attention more or less to the what's driving the market right now is that 70%, I think, of the S&P 500 companies that are reported have beat their earnings. And so this has really been a story over the last, since the president has been in office, about companies beating their earnings. Plus, we've also seen a lot of buybacks where companies are buying back their own shares. They're reinvesting in their companies. They're buying equipment. And we're seeing that play out throughout the different companies throughout the United States where they're repatriating money back to the United States and doing great things with it. The problem, Sam, that we have is that we have 3.9% unemployment. And that's a great thing, but it's a horrible thing for an economy that's trying to expand, because where do you get the workers? You have 10,000 people a day in the United States that are retiring, and you don't have 10,000 people a day that are coming into the workforce. So as the economy expands, we're building new factories and so forth, where do we get the workforce? How do they get educated to do those jobs? It's going to be very interesting. I think colleges are going to be in a lot of trouble, because kids are going to start figuring out that, you know, if I went to welding school for 2 years and became and another 2 years became a master welder, whatever time it takes, I could be making $200,000 a year. And I can tell you, a majority of attorneys out there that went to school for 8 years, they're not making $200,000 a year. So I think there's going to be a shift. And remember, the kids in high school today are not really millennials. I call them homers, because they go to college and they come home. But millennials.
That's good.
Very true.
So the millennials are in their late 20s, early 30s, and they're very transient. They don't want a house. They don't want to, you know, and that's why I think real estate's in a little bit of trouble. They don't want to mow a lawn. They don't want to shovel a driveway. They don't want to get up, you know, and fix a light bulb. They don't want to do anything. They just want to go to work, come back, do their computer, eat, go to work. I mean, they don't really have a connection to a church or a connection to a religious organization. Everything's done via their computer, and there's been this disconnect with the millennials, and they're very transient, because why should I buy a house when I can be moved when I can move to Nashville in 3 years and make $50,000 more for the same job? And that's what's happening with the millennials. They don't want to buy my house or your house and mow the lawn and shovel the driveway. It's just not their generation.
And if
that
they
does
do,
have an impact,
William,
on certain stocks.
I was going to say, William, and if they do, their work ethic has a lot to be desired as well. But let's look at our United States market, and it seems to be strengthening. Does that mean that the dollar is strengthening in value as well? And if it is strengthening, is that a good thing or not a good thing when it comes down to two things? Number one, the investment in markets, and number two, in the personal wallet, as it were, of the individual consumer as it relates to how far their dollar is going to go.
Well, you know, our dollar has gone down significantly over the past year and a half, and so it's made it cheaper for other countries to buy our products. On the other hand, it's made it more expensive for us to buy their products. So even though there's been a tax cut and people getting more in their paychecks, it's costing more to buy other things that are being manufactured in other countries that we don't manufacture in the United States. You know, over the past 25 years, I think I read there's 61,000 steel plants that were closed. And the new steel plants that they're opening are mostly automated, and they still have workforces, but it's not 500 people working in a steel plant. It might be 125 to do the same job, because a lot of the equipment's automated. And so what you're seeing is, in the new generation of new manufacturing, they're looking for automation and artificial intelligence Sam and I talked a little bit about this before the show. I mean, there's some positive things to artificial intelligence. There's also very negative things to artificial intelligence. The dollar staying relatively low is actually good for our large industrial companies that have exposure to foreign markets. Not so good for small companies that really don't have exposure to foreign markets because everything they're doing is domestic. So while the dollar really does favor larger companies that trade with other countries, it really doesn't favor small to mid-sized businesses that are not trading with other countries because they're not seeing that they're not seeing their products being sold overseas, so they're not experiencing that difference between the euro and the dollar.
Okay, now let's go back here. I'm going to go back and revisit the connection to the dollar and petroleum. We've talked again a lot about it, but let's pick this up again here right now because the price of oil is heading back up. Just crossed $4 a gallon in California. That's very high. There are some thoughts that it's going to go to $100 a barrel. That would be significantly higher than it is now. But the dollar is linked to the price of oil. If that happens, what will that do to the dollar? And other than the fact of making it more expensive, if gas continues to go up for the American consumer, what else does it do to the economy and or the value of the dollar?
You mean is it related to the price of oil?
Correct. Is there any direct relationship, or is it a dotted relationship, or what is it?
Yeah, there's a direct relationship, you know, between the petrodollar and what's called the petrodollar system, which really connects the value of how oil is traded from country to country and what the dollar amount of a barrel of oil costs. Now, there are some companies that are delinking. You know, for example, China bought most recently a tremendous amount of oil from Russia, and they bought it with the yuan. So in doing that, they've kind of delinked from the petrodollar. So there is some worry, let me say this, from some investors out there that if there is a decoupling from the petrodollar to a different currency, that could have a very big impact on our market. It could have a very big impact on, you know, countries, for example, that are depending on nuclear, you know, nuclear powerhouses, nuclear stations where they produce electricity, where they're getting away from oil and they're moving more towards nuclear-based facilities like TMI and Peach Bottom and other nuclear facilities throughout the United States. So we really stopped building nuclear power plants in the United States because of what happened in TMI. But other countries like Japan and other countries are building nuclear power plants at a very fast pace. So that also has a price effect on the dollar. Now, we have seen in 1 year in the 80s a swing from I believe it was $31 at the low and maybe $109 at the high in 1 year on the price of oil. So it wouldn't be uncommon to see a very big swing on the price of oil. It's not really good for the United States consumer right now because it's going to cost them more to transport things on tractor trailers, locomotives, whatever it may be, and even their own car. So it has an impact on the everyday consumer of high oil prices.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today, Sam Rohr and Gary Dahl, special guest William Parker. And I do want to put in one little comment here. I heard from one listener who said, now, don't put all millennials in the same category. And we did make some comments about a generation coming up that is lazy. Well, there's a lot, but I do want to say that there are plenty of them who are not. So we're not talking about them. We're talking about the importance of doing and working hard. Stay back. We're going to talk about BRI investing in just a moment.
In Psalm 62, King David says, "Truly my soul waits upon God, and from him comes my salvation." He says, "God only is my rock and defense. Therefore, I can remain steadfast and confident." Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network and another Stand in the Gap Minute. As we look around this nation, we witness increasing evil, just what David saw. People were plotting mischief against each other, conspiring against God and trampling the truth. Rulers were publicly lying and privately cursing. But David said to take heart. Those who appear to be winning are really losing. Men of such character are vanity and self-deceived, and God will reward them accordingly. In such times, David says, trust in God at all times, ye people of God. Pour out your heart before him, for he is our refuge. Could I invite you to stand with us in prayer, asking God to raise up truly godly leaders, perhaps even you? Join with us and add your name to our email prayer list at standinthegapradio.com. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The son of a rabbi, born this day, May 11, 1888, he was 4 years old when he immigrated from Russia to New York. Falling in love with America, he served in the U.S. infantry during World War I and wrote some of the country's most popular songs, including Alexander's Ragtime Band, White Christmas, and God Bless America, the royalties from which he gave to the Boy Scouts. Who was he? Irving Berlin, who in 1945 received the Congressional Gold Medal from President Eisenhower. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, just before we get into our final segment here on biblically responsible investing made a little easier, we get into that, I just want to take that example of what I just shared here on the last segment there. A listener texted me when we ask you on the program, text us, write to us, let us know what you think. We try to be very, very accurate in our presentation of the truth, of research. And in that last segment, we're talking economics, and we were talking about, in a general sense, the younger generation coming up, as William was saying, is preferring to live at home. They are not preferring to work as hard, and the work ethic is not as much as it is. And we've talked about a lot in how and why. We are not saying that that applies to everyone, so please understand that. So I appreciate the woman who texted me so I could clarify that, because I want you to know we are responsive and we do want to hear. It's not all, but I'm going to tie it in here because we're talking about biblically responsible investing. What is it that makes a person have a work ethic? Where does the concept of duty and responsibility come from? Where does the concept of planning ahead come from? Where does the concept that there are consequences to actions come from? Where does the idea that debt is a gigantic problem and that you really don't want to go to college and get out with a $100,000 debt or more and then only be able to find a job that's going to pay you $50,000. Well, those concepts come from biblical principles. A biblical worldview is the antidote to laziness, to lack of responsibility, to not having a forward-looking view of responsibility in life and living. So I just want to say that in a general sense, what we said is absolutely true, supportable by the information, by the research, but it is correctable through a biblical worldview in applying it. So I just want to take it as an example and just thank you again for communicating, and I just want to make that clear as we go forward here. We've been talking on the program, and we've been introducing the concept of biblically responsible investing here now for some time. We've talked about the concept that everything we own, all of our money, all of our wealth, comes from God. We've talked about the concept that because it comes from God, we have a duty and responsibility, again, biblical worldview approach, for how we use it. We call that stewardship. We have talked about that on this program. We've talked about the fact that when you have wealth or money, that it needs to be invested, not hid in a hole in the ground, but that when we invest, we need to invest as much as we possibly can with biblical principles in mind so that we are investing in those things that are consistent with and will get God's blessing, not the opposite. Now, William, I want to come back to you right now. If a listener were to go to the website that we introduced, BRI, which stands for Biblically Responsible Investing, BRIinvesting.com, they can read there more about what BRI investing is, why it's important for a Christian to know about it, and to guide their investing. But for just a moment here, I'd like you to describe a bit for our listeners how BRI qualified investments are identified and then made available on BRIinvesting.com website or any other place where they may be. How are they selected? Can you share with that?
Yeah, go to BRIinvesting.com and find out more information about the company, but it also talks about what it is, why it's responsible investing. I mean, it's the right decision for a Christian. It's good stewardship. It's credible and meets fiduciary standards, and it's actually a very good business decision for business owners to make BRI mutual funds a part of their 401k retirement plans for their employees. So they have the option of having clean funds. Now, there's software out there that screens mutual funds and ETFs and stocks and so forth that tell you whether they're clean or not, and there are actually specific ETFs that are related to BRI investing. So there is a very big movement that's sweeping across the United States. I'm a certified Kingdom advisor, and we go through multiple courses to become certified. But, you know, it's not just the aspect of making sure that you don't have pornography or human trafficking, or maybe you don't want tobacco or alcohol or abortifacient in your portfolio. Right now, people listening in their 401ks who can't control their fund selection are investing in those things and profiting for them. So it's important to talk to your business owner, or if you are a business owner, you're listening, it's important that, you know, go to BRIinvesting.com and learn more about it. There's no really additional cost to adding these things to your platform. And if you have other monies that are not inside your 401k, let's say they're in a Roth or traditional IRA, you can actually, you know, people think that you have to give up return when you go to a BRI portfolio, and that's not the case. The returns have shown in BRI, biblically responsive investing, are, you know, with the same risk level, are the same returns that you would get in a portfolio that does support abortion, LGBT rights, and other things that you may not want to be invested in. So,
okay, William, so really what you're saying, William, is that BRI investing gives the assurance to the person who's concerned about stewardship that they, in fact, can put their wealth that God has given them into a series of investments that are not going to be furthering the direct work of the devil, I mean, the sinful practices or businesses, and you do not have to give up performance in order to do that. Now, if a person does that, can they be assured that if they invest in these things, such as through this effort here, BRIinvesting.com, that in fact, if a company that may be on the list that does get involved later down the road, that they will be removed? I mean, can they have pretty good confidence that those companies in which they're invested after they have gone to BRI Investing, that in fact, they are going to stay that way? Or do they have to be worried about looking at
checking? No, we have to run them through a screen on a quarterly basis.
And then in some cases, you know, when I have conversation with ETF money managers where we had a situation, a very large company, I won't mention their name, but it is a very, very large company, and they donated $25,000 to an LGBT parade, and they took the phone call from the ETF manager, and they said, if you do this again, you're coming off our list. And this company, which is a very large company, I'm talking about a multi-billion dollar company that's in every state and in almost every city, said, okay, we won't do that again. So I see Christians coming out now and putting pressure on CEOs of large corporations saying, if you do this, you're not going to be part of our portfolio. And it's having an impact. So, you know, first of all, it's an act of worship by investing in BRI investing, in my opinion. Now, not all BR mutual funds are outperforming other mutual funds that are out there, because if you just look at the general mutual fund population, a majority of them don't outperform the S&P 500. So you're going to have that same situation in BRI investing as you would in secular investing. But it's an act of worship. It's also something that I believe in my own heart that Christ blesses you when it's his money. And when you take the step to make sure that your portfolio is on a BRI platform, God is going to bless you and your family and your portfolio. That's my opinion. That doesn't mean it won't go up or down. It just means you can go to sleep at night knowing that you're not investing in things you don't believe in.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to stop. We're going to have to stop today. Gary, I want you to pray for us as we exit this program here on Friday, here at the end of the week, if you could, please.
I will. And Father, it seems like every time we come to prayer, we recognize that we need your wisdom, whether it has to do with investment or international relations or whatever the case. And so, Father, I pray that you'll give us as Christians the wisdom always to make the right choices in all that we do, whether it's on the national, international, or personal scene, that will glorify you. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us today. William, thanks for being with us here on this most important issue. And Gary, and ladies and gentlemen, again, as Gary just said, God's word holds the answers for everything in life. Follow biblical principles and God will bless. Have a great weekend. Stand in the gap for truth where you are and where you can.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.